For critical information ignored by the mainstream media, log on to davidicke.com/headlines now.
From Feature Story News in Washington, I'm Priscilla Huff. In a message from the Joint Chiefs of Staff, currently there will be no modifications to the U.S. military's policy on transgender soldiers, sailors, and airmen. U.S. President Donald Trump claimed in a tweet these Americans were banned from serving because they are a threat to readiness and unit cohesion. The president's tweet about transgender soldiers was reportedly inspired by a budget battle over an amendment in a House spending bill. Speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives Paul Ryan is looking for further information.
The problem here, or the concern here in the House, was whether or not the military will be forced to pay for these surgical procedures. I share those concerns. The question on the broader issue, that is being reviewed by the DOD and the White House, and I look forward to seeing what it is that they actually produce.
Russian President Vladimir Putin said that Moscow will have to retaliate if Washington goes forward with new sanctions against Russia. However, Vladimir Putin said his response would depend on the final text of the proposed law. Our correspondent in Moscow, Julia Lyubova, reports.
Vladimir Putin made the comments after the U.S. House of Representatives overwhelmingly voted to impose new sanctions against Moscow. They are aimed to punish Moscow for its alleged interference in the 2016 U.S. presidential elections. Vladimir Putin is on a visit to Finland and said that the proposed U.S. sanctions were extremely cynical. He also said it was an attempt by Washington to safeguard its own geopolitical interests at the expense of its allies in Europe. Julia Lyubova, Moscow.
The British High Court has ruled that terminally ill baby Charlie Gard is to be taken to hospice and to be removed from life support soon thereafter. Our London correspondent Natalie Powell has an update.
Connie Yates and Chris Gard, Charlie's parents, had wanted to take their child home to die or spend a few days with him in a hospice before taking him off life support care. But Great Ormond Street Hospital argued that specialist home care would not be possible and it was not in the best interests of the baby to spend a long period in a hospice. The High Court has now ordered for the baby to be moved to a hospice and have life support withdrawn soon after. Natalie Powell, London.
The British government also says it expects the next phase of the Brexit talks to be able to start in October as planned. From London, our correspondent Ollie Barrett reports.
The Department for Exiting the EU says good progress has been made on a number of issues and that it remains confident the next phase of talks can begin in October. However, reports suggest it could slip until December. And lead Brussels negotiator Michel Barnier has told EU ambassadors he is sceptical about future relationship talks in October. Ollie Barrett, London.
Palestinian Muslims returned to pray at the Al-Aqsa Mosque in the Old City of Jerusalem as Israeli, Jordanian, and Palestinian officials try to figure out how to best secure the historic place claimed as holy by three major world religions. This is FSN.
Thank you very much, Priscilla Huff, and a warm welcome to the Richie Allen Show to you. Hope you've had a good Thursday. It's the 27th of July 2017. You can tweet me at any time, of course, as usual. It's at Richie Allen Show on Twitter, and it's richie@richieallen.co.uk. That's the old email address, isn't it? It is. Right. Looking forward to this program. Got two great guests for you again.
Broadcasting live from the great city of Manchester, England. This is the Richie Allen Show on davidicke.com. The Richie Allen Show, brought to you in association with davidicke.com. And now, live from Manchester, England, here is Richie Allen.
Now, Peter Paul Parker is an old friend of mine. First met him in London a few years ago. It's been a long time, nearly 2.5 years since Peter was on this program. He's a wonderful guy. I'm looking forward to you meeting him. He is a Bach flower practitioner, a dietary consultant, a vegetarian, but he's become very well known for his research into the effects of mobile phones and Wi-Fi on people and on children. He's very good, is Peter. He's a really, really good guy at getting the message out there and has even been to schools in the UK to talk about this. So Peter joins us this hour. And in the second hour, there's a late substitution to the Richie Allen Show, replacing number 7, Robert David Steele, who double booked. He booked me with somebody else and tried in vain to make something happen. In the end, I told him, look, do the other radio programme. I can make a substitution. So replacing Roberts, my old friend Jim Fetzer joins the programme from Madison, Wisconsin, late in the day. Looking forward to that. Jim joins us in the second hour. Alrighty. Again, I did say yesterday I'm not going to be talking about Zionist groups anymore, and I'm not. I just want to acknowledge again, there was another flood, avalanche, if you will, of emails that came my way from you. Emails that you'd sent to the venues in Sheffield, the Sheffield City Hall, the venue in Liverpool, Gladstone Theatre, and obviously the Lowry in Manchester, to express your discontent, your annoyance at what's been happening to the event schedule for David, for his book release and for his continuing speaking tour. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for being professional, for being pithy, very pithy, the tone of some of these emails, very, very savvy, very, very polite, good stuff. I really do appreciate that. It's 6 minutes past the hour. Yeah. So, been an interesting old day. Couple of things to tell you about. I want more time with Peter Paul Parker. So I'm not going to do an extensive roundup of the news, which I ordinarily would do at this time in the programme. But I'll tell you a couple of things that have obviously caught the eye today. And that is the Home Secretary, a woman called Amber Rudd. She's said today that free movement of people between the European Union and the UK will end in March 2019. But it won't. This is quite extraordinary, this nonsense today. It will end, they said, and then they said it won't. They said that from March 2019, EU workers moving to the UK will have to register, at least until a permanent post-Brexit immigration policy is put in place. This is quite extraordinary. So this is, you know, the use of language. This is semantics beyond any semantics I've ever known. Free movement of people will end, except that EU workers will still come here. It's just that they have to register. And then they said, this is the way it's going to be until a post-Brexit immigration policy is put in place. You see, this is further evidence that even those who, on the face of it, campaigned for the UK to leave the European Union were really only actors and actresses, dark actors and actresses. They really were. Do you want to hear what Amber Rudd, the Home Secretary, had to say? I know you don't, but you can have a wee listen to her anyway.
Home Secretary, you've promised an extensive review of what EU migrants contribute to the UK. Could freedom of movement, therefore, extend beyond March 2019?
Well, freedom of movement is the phrase that people use. It's being part of the EU for what we have at the moment. What we've said is that we want a new, informed, evidence-based EU migration policy. We've commissioned the MAC to deliver on that, an independent group that they will be consulting with business. And in the meantime, there will be an implementation phase when new EU workers who come here will need to register their details. But the full new EU immigration policy will be after the MAC has reported in the final phase of leaving the EU.
You said you want businesses to be assured there won't be a cliff edge.
Yes.
There will be flexibility. What does that flexibility look like? Is it work permits?
Well, all those possibilities are the sort of thing that we might discuss after the MAC has concluded their review. But let me be very clear. What the MAC is doing is gathering the evidence. It will be for the government to set the policy. What we want to hear from businesses is what their views are as we go about this during the next year.
On that evidence, clearly different industries in different parts of the country want different things. How will you satisfy them all?
Well, we will look at the evidence, really, to make sure that we can try and do that. And we are leaving the EU. We will be having a new policy. But part of what I'm announcing today is to show that we're going to make sure that it's evidence-based and that we're going to make sure that it works for the whole country. I'm here in Scotland today to celebrate the launch of a new type of boat that will help to keep our borders secure.
Right, this is monumental bollocks by Amber Rudd. Evidence-based and consultation with UK business. This is the way it should work. And I've said this to you probably 1,000 times since last year. When there is a shortage, of qualified people to do certain jobs. British people, people living here, ethnic UK people should be trained to do those jobs. And funding should be given, whether it's to training centres or whether it's to city colleges or universities or whatever, to train people if there's any shortfall of talent in any industry as a priority. In the meantime, if you do need to get 1,000 people into the country from outside the country who specialise in something, well, you do that, but you specifically get 1,000 people in and 1,000 people only. That should be it. That should be the immigration policy of the UK and of any other country. Train your own people to do that which they are needed to do in the wider community, in business, in manufacturing, whatever it is. I won't labour the point because I've said this before. Utter garbage. They don't want to end free movement of people because free movement of people and the dilution of sovereignty is central to the elitists and the globalist plans. Okay, for the future, to keep us divided along racial lines, to keep us hating one another and fighting one another instead of not fighting them, because you shouldn't fight anybody, but taking them on. It's extraordinary stuff. It really is. The Immigration Minister, Brandon Lewis, was on the Today programme. Today on BBC Radio 4, this is what he said. This is more obfuscation.
Free movement of labour ends when we leave the European Union in the spring of 2019.
But he's lying, it doesn't. They've just said that EU people can still come into the country after that, it's just that they have to register, which is semantic bullshit. People coming in here from the European Union to take jobs register anyway, because they get a national insurance number, don't they? He continued.
I'll be very clear about that.
Freedom of movement ends then, so why should everything else, all the advantages that some people see that we get, our free trade, part of the single market, why will that not also end?
Well, obviously, there's a period of negotiation we're going through with the European Union at the moment, but we're very clear that free movement ends. It's part of the core principles, the four key principles of the European Union. When we leave,
indeed,
that
so
by
is
definition
that, is that a red
ends.
Line? Is that so? You're saying we're part of a negotiation. You're expecting the EU to negotiate on some aspects. Well, is it a red line for the UK that freedom of movement has to end March 2019?
Well, it's a simple matter of fact that the four key principles of the European Union include free movement, and we won't be a member of the European Union when we leave.
Now, he's an absolute liar. He gave that interview before the Home Secretary, his parliamentary colleague, his party colleague, went and said that EU citizens could still come into the country so long as they registered. Right. They're just a pack of lying, motherless... I'm not going to finish that sentence. I'm going to leave that there. 13 minutes past the hour. Do you know, over the last few weeks, I've had quite a few tweets and a few messages about the horrible story about the baby Charlie Gard. And we've not really covered it on the programme in any detail, really, because we couldn't really do anything about it, or we couldn't contribute anything to it that, you know, hadn't been contributed elsewhere. I think you'd probably expect my position, if you listen to me long enough, you'll know that my position is that I think the parents were hard done by. I really do. I think they were badly treated, I think. The latest news on that story, and I know some of you are following it regularly, getting up-to-the-minute reports on it, is that the baby will be moved to a hospice and life support will be withdrawn soon after that. The parents wanted a private team to care for him, to give them more time to say goodbye to them, but that's been denied to them as well. It's a horrible, horrible, horrible story. You wouldn't wish it on anybody. If you want to read about it, to give the BBC a little bit of credit, because they get knocked and knocked and knocked quite rightly on this programme, I think they've covered it quite well. And if you go to bbc.co.uk/news, you can learn more about that story. But it's a terrible story, and I think the parents have been very hard done by, but as I said, I don't want to get into it, and I haven't gotten into it in any great detail on the programme. It's exactly 15 minutes past the hour. There's a lot going on, I suppose, silly season or not, there is a lot happening. We've covered a lot, though, of what's in the news today in the last few days. So I'm going to leave the brief. No, I won't. Just before I leave the news roundup, it has been announced late in the day today that police investigating the Grenfell Tower fire, they've actually come out and said today that they have reasonable grounds to suspect corporate manslaughter offences may have been committed. So the council and tenant management organisation which ran Grenfell Tower have been informed by the police that there are grounds to suspect they may have committed the offence. This emerged in a letter from the Metropolitan Police to residents of the block. More on this undoubtedly on this programme in future episodes. 16 minutes past the hour, very quick break. When we return from that, Peter Paul Parker will join the programme. You don't want to miss him. And coming up a bit later on, it's James H. Fetzer, proper legend. And if you've got anything to say to any of my guests, tweet it to me. It's at Richie Allen Show on Twitter.
Is your mind full of ideas, yet you struggle to put them down on paper? Characters with no home, unfinished concepts that you always wanted to finalise, yet lacked knowledge and drive to complete. The Creative Writing Course from Creative Imagings may be the long-awaited answer. Designed to help you finish your masterpiece with better language techniques, detailed study of the character, plotted suspense chain, and valuable information to get published. Don't delay your creation. Sign up today. Email Sue on nassusproductions@gmail.com.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
Have you heard of the potential healing power of CBD and non-psychoactive strain from cannabis? At Indoka, our mission is to show everyone how incredible CBD is. Each month, you can win $1,000 worth of our CBD products, plus everyone who enters will receive a beginner's guide to CBD cannabidiol. Our products are 100% organic, lab-tested and legal. For your chances of winning and special discounts on our range of CBD products, just visit offers.indoka.com/Richie Allen. That's offers.endoca.com/Richie Allen. Indoka, unlocking the secrets of nature.
Manchester's Tiger Lounge roars for the last time ever, Saturday the 5th of August. Legendary DJ Mark Reeder, collaborator with New Order, Depeche Mode and the Pet Shop Boys, playing timeless electro dance classics and exclusive remixes. And for the new sound of Manchester, it's Modern Family Unit, taken to the stage replete with President Gas, dancers and a 6-foot rabbit. Dance Away, the last show at the Tiger Lounge, 7:30 till 11 o'clock, Saturday the 5th of August. Tickets at skiddle.com.
Introducing the H2O app, a powerful water structuring application that programs vibrational energies into water through the use of different sound frequencies. Once programmed, the use of water for drinking, cooking, bathing. Give it to your friends and colleagues or spread it around the garden. The list goes on. It's not just water that the app can be used for either. It's great for programming crystals too. The H2O app is free to download and is available on both Android and Apple platforms. For further information, go to h2oapp.online.
Broadcasting the information the mainstream media won't touch. This is the Richie Allen Show in association with DavidIke.com.
Lovely stuff. Lovely hurling, as we say in God's country. It's exactly 18 and a half minutes past the hour. This is your Richie Allen Show in association with DavidIke.com. There's none other like it. Well, at least in terms of audience participation anyway. Thanks for the tweets. Peter Paul Parker joins the programme after this from Arcade Fire. This is Everything Now. Love this song.
Up in your dreams.
20 minutes past the hour. That's Arcade Fire. Everything now on your Richie Allen Show in association with DavidIke.com. It is Thursday, the 27th of July, 2017. And my first guest today, when I think back to our days in London at TPV, I remember my conversation with him very fondly. It was one of the highlights of my time at TPV in London when I met our first guest. Before we introduce him, David published a story on davidike.com/headlines in the last couple of days about a report commissioned by Californian state officials some years ago and completed about 3 years ago, called Cell Phones and Health, which was actually produced in 2014. It's been rewritten apparently 27 times, but it's never been released to the public. Why? What's in the report that the public mightn't like to read or like to hear? Do you know what the World Health Organization says about mobile phones and health effects? This is what they say. On long-term effects, they say epidemiological research examining potential long-term risks from radio frequency exposure has mostly looked for an association between brain tumours and mobile phone use. However, because many cancers are not detectable until many years after the interactions that led to the tumour, and since mobile phones were not widely used until the early 1990s, epidemiological studies at present can only assess those cancers that become evident within shorter time periods. So they don't know, or at least they're saying they don't know. Our first guest today is a Bach flower practitioner, a vegetarian and dietary consultant. He was partly responsible. He was involved in setting up the Ministry of Health. He is a verifiable expert in this subject. Go to his website. It's peterpaulparker.wordpress.com. Thrilled after a long time to welcome back old friend Peter Paul Parker. Hey, Peter, welcome back.
Yeah, thank you, Richie. Good to be back. And I'm not really an expert, but I've looked into this very, very deeply. And yes, it's we should really look at the World Health Organization and look at them as the world's hopeless organization, because they're not looking after our health whatsoever.
They're not. And I'm not being in any way, I'm not, and you're very modest. You are a bit of an expert on this. And I mentioned at the very top of the program, you've had a lot of success in getting to speak to school kids and teenagers officially about this subject, which I think is marvellous. You know, you've broken through barriers where a lot of people can't or are dismissed as conspiracy theorists. You've done a terrific job with it. Do you want to tell the listeners who might not have heard of you, of course some will have, how you got into this particular subject, Peter?
I was actually playing a gig. I'm a musician. I was playing a gig up in the Midlands, and I met Walter Graham, and he was getting fluoride out of water, basically, in Northern Ireland. And then we started chatting, and he started talking about Wi-Fi and mobile phone damage. And I, like everybody else does, I looked at it and thought, very funny. The government hasn't said anything. The health authorities haven't said anything. So there can't be too much to what he's saying. But because Walter was such a wonderful guy, I looked into it, and I couldn't believe what I was uncovering. It is quite incredible what is really going on behind the scenes. And people still say today, even though you bring up scientific papers and professors who have been studying this for years and years, they say, oh, well, we're going to die anyway, so we might as well die using this technology. This is the state of consciousness humanity is in at the moment. I find it jaw-dropping. So I'd like to get into it a little bit more, obviously. I got into it through Walter Graham. And since that, I've been fighting schools and not fighting, fighting is the wrong word. I've been trying to raise awareness to schools, and I've put this out, information of the Bioinitiative Report of 2012 across to all the schools in the south east of England. And some of them accidentally replied to me and said, oops, what are we going to do with this? So they know there's something going on with this, but they're still refusing to do nothing. The schools are doing nothing. The people who are working in the schools are doing nothing. And the evidence is overwhelming, and yet they still won't listen. What are we going to do? What are we going to do to get through? Hopefully I'll be able to help today to get people a bit more fired up about this, because this is really, really ultimately important to everybody's health, not just the children, everybody's health.
I should have mentioned, of course, Peter's a distinguished bass player as well. I should have mentioned that. And I remember meeting Walter with you in London, coming on the programme. I want to, what about, explain to people then, and one of the things I loved about you, and I meant what I said, one of my fondest moments of doing the TV show in London was meeting you and doing that particular programme, because it was very eye-opening for me. I didn't know a lot about it at that particular time, and it was terrific. When we use a mobile phone, what happens, Peter? Break it down in layman's terms that we can understand. What actually happens physically when we use a cell phone?
Okay, when you got the cell phone in flight mode, you've still got electromagnetic frequencies going into you, but they're very small. But if you say put on a 2G, it starts to go into the brain, and they've got scientific studies that show it. So it starts to actually hit the cells. And what happens when it hits the cells? The cells have a natural protection from radiation. Our background radiation is there, so we have a natural protection to it, and the cells shut down. So when a cell shuts down, it stops working properly, and of course it has things coming in and out of it all the time, and this is going to cause a cancer. And this is the most terrible thing, is when it goes up to 2G, 3G, and now it's up to 4G, that people are putting these things next to their head. It's like putting your head in a microwave. And it will cause a cancer. But what is really interesting, I think, is the rise in, it's a cancer called glioblastoma multiforme, which is the most virulent and deadly type of brain tumor. And that's on the rise. And that was found in a data from a Danish study in 2012. And they found that these were rising underneath cancer rates in the head. But the other cancers were staying the same. But this was actually rising underneath the figures. And again, the cell phone industry and the wireless communication industry are covering this up, because they don't want you to know. But you can be dead within months once you get this tumour. So
these aggressive neoblastomas, is that what they're called again? I've read a number of different people. In fact, I know somebody from my time in Spain, somebody not much older than me, who's got one of these really aggressive brain tumours. What's it called again, Peter?
It's a glioblastoma multiforme. Yeah.
And it's a killer. It's a very quick killer, right?
John McCann's got one at the moment in America.
The senator. The rise in people being diagnosed with this coincides with the rise in the use of these devices, and you're saying that 2G, 3G, 4G, they're even more powerful. Do you want to explain that again? Because we're facing the imminent introduction of 5G, and I'm sure you'll have plenty to say about that. What did it mean when the phones went from 2G to 3G to 4G physically?
Well, let's firstly just step back a little bit. Now, the tests on this microwave radiation was set in the 50s, and they found in the 50s that it's detrimental to human health, and they've used it as weapons on embassies and things like that. I mean, I won't go into that, but what they've done is they've tested this, which is a organization called ICNIRP, the International Commission on Non-Ionizing Radiation and Protection. And ICNIRP themselves, they are a non-governmental organization. They're very loyal to the industry. And 5 out of the 6 sitting members at the on ICNIRP are actually part of the WHO, World Health Organization, monitoring the safety of EMF and RF radiation. So their tests are basically done on thermal. It's done on whether something heats up or not. So they've got a plastic doll, and they fill it with liquid, and they put a mobile phone next to it, and they see whether it heats up or not. That's basically the tests they've done. Now, we've got 25,000 plus studies by eminent professors showing that there's a non-thermal radiation interaction. So as you're going up the 2.4 Gs, which is what most of the studies are going, telling you that it's harmful, you're going up to 3G. So it's vibrating the cell. As you know, everything's on vibration in this world, so which is what the bark flowers are and sound healing and all that kind of stuff. But this vibrates the cells in a detrimental to health. So as you go up to the 4G, now you're actually, there have been studies now on 4G, and it shows you that more people actually receiving 4G, literally receiving it to your cell phone, is causing cancer in those areas where they're holding that cell phone. So if you've got it next to your body, it's going to give you a tumor. It won't come straight away, but over the years, it will cause a tumor because your cell will shut down.
Should we say, Peter, in the interest of, I mean, by the way, go to Peter's website, by the way, the WordPress site. It's terrific. It's peterpaulparker.wordpress.com. Should we say that we are more likely to develop one of these? Because not everybody will develop a tumour, but we're more 50%. Likely, right? 50%, Peter.
About 50% of the population, so the studies say. But it's what the DNA, you've got one and two strands of DNA. The DNA is basically a receiver and a transmitter of information. And what's more concerning to me is that this microwave technology that's beaming through us and going into our DNA is actually fracturing our DNA. And it's what it's going to do in the future, who knows? I mean, what comes to me is the thought of those babies in Fallujah who've had that depleted uranium and their mother's been affected by depleted uranium. Are we going to see human beings coming out like that? I mean, you're looking at human beings who don't even know who they are. They don't know who their gender is anymore. They don't know who their identity is. They're so taken away from nature, and their immune systems are all being compromised, which is incredible. I mean, it's incredible the amount of problems that your immune system is having at the moment. And when people come to me about health, the very first question I ask is, have you got Wi-Fi in your house? And the first thing I say is, turn it off, because that's how dangerous it is. It's virtually immediate effects if you're electro-hypersensitive, which the UN now call you functionally impaired rather than it's caused. So you can actually call yourself functionally impaired if you're electro-hypersensitive now. So at least they've registered that. But turn it off, because it is causing problems. And it is about 50% of the population. But who knows on the long term whether it's going to affect all of us. And some scientists do actually say that we are all going to be sterile after about 3 or 4 generations after being subject to all of this.
That's right. Now, this was an amalgamation of over 200 studies. We covered this yesterday. Peer-reviewed. Nobody disputes it. We heard some audio from Manchester-based professor yesterday, Daniel Bryson, I think. And, well, you know, it was hilarious, Peter, listening to him. Hilarious, but sad and angering as well. I was angry listening to him talking about climate change. I mean, the answer is in his pocket. The answer is in his pocket, probably. Either in his trousers pocket or in his breast pocket. The answer is right there. Sperm counts are down. And again, it coincides with the rise of and the frequency with which we use these devices. There's your causal, your causation right there, right? There's no dispute in this, Peter. I don't believe so.
No, there isn't anymore. There isn't. And when you go deeper and deeper into this agenda, when you look at people like John P. Holdren, Bill Gates, all these other people, the Rockefeller Foundation, and they're all obsessed with population reduction. And I don't think it's about money. I don't think this whole cell phone thing, this wireless technology is about money. And this is my own speculation after only researching for about 6 years, that this is to bring the population down. And they're obsessed with it. And I personally think this will bring the population down, whether they're doing it or not, put it that way, because this is a disaster, a human disaster. If you look at the human system, and we have an amazing body, right? It's doing billions and billions of little actions every day. And it's all coming from the brainstem that sorts the body out. But we also have an energy body. And our energy body will carry us through, carry the physical body through. But how long and how much your energy body will bring you through depends on how healthy you keep it. But what this really is, I think, is a massive attack on our immune system. So you've got genetically modified foods, you've got EMFs, you've got whatever you're breathing in from the skies, goodness knows, whatever you're breathing in from all the chemicals that they're using on gardens, people are using Roundup all over the place. And the kids now going across carpets and vinyl with all those toxins and poisons they're breathing in there. They're lying on mattresses with toxins and poisons coming out of the... Who's looking after our health here? Who's looking out and stopping people from putting this stuff into our natural world? Because human beings are being dragged out of a natural world and putting into a one that's completely contrived for them. They've completely lost the plot, as far as I'm concerned.
Now, let me ask you a question on that, Peter. This is important stuff, by the way. Peter Paul Parker is on the line. Go to peterpaulparker.wordpress.com. Do, folks, do. You know, especially if you've got young children. I don't care.
Please.
Yeah, I don't care if, you know, you have the peer pressure and if everybody else. Don't allow your child have one of those phones. Before, I wanna just take you back just a bit, Peter, because you talked about depopulation. So,
yeah.
David believes, and he's written extensively about, he agrees with you. So we'll see a depopulation agenda, but people will remain. And the people that will remain, they will have physiologically, biologically changed to be ready for the transhumanist stage of the depopulation agenda. On that, we don't have to talk about that. We don't have to talk about that at all. But these other things you talked about, you talked there about the exposure, the massive exposure on a daily basis to toxins the children face. We've got to consider the possibility that, you know, that dots can be joined and that it's all part of an agenda. We've got to consider that possibility. We have to. I mean, I never wanted to be talking about these things for fear of ridicule, but we have to talk about it, that these things are all linked, right?
I don't care what people think anymore. I've lost all care about reputation, anything like that. I speak from the heart now. And I've been, since I went to see David where was it? The Hammersmith, not the Brixton Academy. And I took my partner there, and I was worried about the reptilian thing because I thinking, oh, what's she going to think about that? And we started talking afterwards. He goes, well, that's really interesting. He's talking about those reptilians because I've been looking at that myself with Von Daniken, and she's been looking into like the ancient alien and all that other stuff, and the Gnostics and the Archons and all that kind of stuff. And she knew all about that, but we'd never spoken about it. But anyway, he was talking about the lower chakras and how humanity are caught in the lower chakra system. And what this is doing, because I treat people now, I've become a sound healer since I last spoke to you. And now I'm treating people through the chakra system using vibration. And every single person who comes through that door that I treat have got problems with their lower chakras. We've been pushed down into our lower chakras, and our heads are also foggy because of the damage and the inability to think, because it's disrupting our neural pathways, that we can't even turn around and say, hang on a minute, this is wrong. We're losing our gut instinct, because our guts have neurons in them. So, you know, when you say somebody's, oh, he's got good, or she's got good gut instincts, we're losing that now. Humanity are being pulled away from our natural state of having very good intuition and very good gut instincts, and we can't even do that anymore. So I present this information to many, many people, and they still can't believe or think that this is true and this is really happening, when it actually is. There's more and more people, thank goodness, actually speaking up, and there's more and more pressure becoming onto the cell phone and the telecommunication industries that it's going to be inevitable soon that this is going to be shown to be another thalidomide or another...
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you're playing your part in that. There's loads of tweets, understandably, on this. Daniel tweets, the body is an electromagnetic field. Electromagnetic distortions from technology therefore harm the health of the body. Peter spoke about that earlier on. That's absolutely true. Spirit Samba says, my work is installing airport scanners for security reasons. Can you ask Peter how dangerous would the daily use of these airport scanners be? Now, Peter, there's actually several questions. Do you want to take that question? These airport scanners, a lot of people are refusing to walk through them at airports, and sometimes the security, they get a bit ratty about that and they subject them to a more thorough personal search. What about these airport scanners?
Yeah, they're no good for you either. They're another form of radiation that's pumping through you. And if you're working next to them, you are in danger. It is seeping in to you. So I get really stressed when I go to airports now, which is part of the agenda to stop you traveling. And I don't want to go through one of those things. I want to stand up there and even, it's not even about humility, which is I mean, you're going up there and you're being shown naked on the screen.
Yeah.
That in itself, to me, is just unreasonable.
An invasion of privacy,
Yeah, exactly. But actually having your body x-rayed. They showed one of the studies about the DNA, and they showed, I think it was about 16,000, I can't remember the exact figures, but it was a massive amount of x-rays that they showed that split the DNA. Then they showed 24 hours use on a 2.4G mobile phone, and it was bigger. It was greater than the split of the x-rays. But these x-rays still do harm you. They still, it's still causing the same thing. And don't forget, this is cumulative. This, if you don't get away from it, it will carry on building up in your system. And eventually, everybody will become electro-hypersensitive, I believe, which is what it looks like it's going to do. At the moment, it's about 50% of us will become electro-hypersensitive.
But that's incredible. But I mean, that number in itself is incredible. Mark tweets, "This is scary. I have the Wi-Fi on all night long. I don't carry my phone in my trouser pocket, but this is very important information." Pat Garrett, Patrick, welcome to the show. Pat, nice to know you're listening tonight. Richie, "Ask Peter if I switch off my Wi-Fi, but my neighbour has it on, am I still in danger?" You see, this is the thing, you see. You can turn it off. Go on.
It's a little bit lighter. It's a little bit lighter, but still no good. And you can get paint. We use paint in our house. We painted some areas where we've found. You can get a little... You can detect it. You can get these detectors to see how bad it is coming into you. But you've got to do your best. I found that buckwheat is very good for a slight protection against EMS. But if you're gonna have it on at night, this is what happens with you with the brain at night. If you're sleeping, when you sleep, your brain cells actually shrink, and you have a liquid coming through, and it's pushing through like all the ions, like iron and all these other things that accumulate in the brain, because we eat too much iron, we eat too much stuff from our meat eating diet, because everybody eats too much meat. But if we don't have that, our brains won't close down and we won't go to sleep properly, so therefore you're going to be prone to getting Parkinson's later on in life. So you have to sleep, and you've got to turn this stuff off, because it's keeping your body awake, even though you feel like it isn't. It is.
It's why we're always knackered, Peter. It's why we're always knackered. It doesn't matter what we do.
Yes, it's incredibly important.
You know, I get up every morning, Peter. I've basically given up alcohol, and I have done for ages. I get up every day at 5:45 in the morning. I go for a 5K run. I'm very fit. I manage it in about 25, 26 minutes. Lost a load of weight. I'm eating well, fruit and stuff like that. And it doesn't matter, mate. I am constantly in a state of catatonia. Do you know that? And everybody I know is, and I believe it's absolutely right what you've been saying since I knew, and you were saying it before I met you in London. This is destroying us in so many different ways. And one of the ways is we're turning into the walking dead, Peter.
That's it. Zombies. One more thing. This is really kind of backs up everything that we've been talking about. There was a paper released on June 27th. In the International Journal of Oncology. Oncology is obviously childhood cancer. And it was highlighting the harmful effects of electromagnetic frequencies and radio frequency radiation. It was written by a Swedish oncologist called Leonard Hardell. And they said everything about ICNIRP and what I said earlier about there's a conflict of interest there, and nobody's really looking after our health apart from the telecommunication industry. But what it did actually go on to say, they did tests when they went in to meet the World Health Organization officials in an informal meeting, and they tested for EMF frequencies, and they found that it was significantly lower in the World Health Organization offices than it was actually in the Stockholm central train station.
Well.
What does that tell you?
What does that tell you? The bastards know is what it tells us. They're well aware of it.
Unbelievable. And what they've done, they've written to them twice now, the bioinitiative movement. They've written to them twice. The first, they said, we're not going to change our core people. And the second, they're waiting for a second reply from their latest letter. And they're just ignoring it. Absolutely 100% ignoring it. When we look at lead, when lead was taken out of the petrol in all over the West, it was 10,000 peer-reviewed study reports that were saying that lead was detrimental to health. We've got over 25,000 peer-reviewed reports saying that EMFs are harmful to human beings and they're doing nothing, nothing. And people are still not hearing this message. They're still not taking more care of themselves. I don't know what more you can say. You can keep saying that till you're blue in the face. But also, the National Toxicology Program, which is funded by the US government, they've just come to the end of a 17-year-old study, and they've had lots of controversy and had lots of problems getting out the information. And again, this is peer-reviewed reports, and they're showing also that wireless technology does cause cancer.
It does. It's as simple as that. Peter, let me do a quick recap. We've got till the top of the hour. Anyway, a couple of minutes after, we've plenty of time and other things you want to get into. Peter Paul Parker. Peter's a musician. He's a Bach flower practitioner, a dietary consultant as well. I've known Peter since 2013. He's been talking passionately but succinctly on this issue and intellectually on this issue for a number of years now, trying to raise awareness about the dangers of EMF radiation from mobile phones and from Wi-Fi. It's great to have him on the programme. Loads and loads of tweets on this, understandably. Cliff Moore tweets. I think Cliff is serious. I don't think he's jesting. He says he's texted the family to bin their phones and turn the Wi-Fi off as he sits here, ironically, on his phone on Wi-Fi. But he says big changes are coming. And Sue tweets to say that as part of her job, she does deliver to a court every week. The court has a scanner. She wonders if the scanner in court is the same as the one in the airport. I guess it is, Peter, is it?
I'm not sure. I think
it has to be, though, doesn't it?
They use metal detectors, do they not? I haven't been to court for a while. I'm not intending to go because it's not really a court.
Yeah, that's right.
But they're not courts. People don't understand our legal system. But it's a sham. But yeah, I think they're metal detectors. The last time I went to court, it was a metal detector. So, but I don't know. I don't know if it's a scanner. You actually got to go inside it, and it zaps around you and. You know when you're in a scanner and whether it's just a metal detector. But if they're scanning people to go into court now, then goodness me, goodness me. How low have we come as a society and as a human race? How low can this go before people say, hang on a minute, what is really going on here? Which is what happened to me. I had to look at myself and think, what is really going on? Where's the truth? And I don't think you ever really truly find the truth outside of you. I think you find the truth within you. And then you look at information. And then once you've found the truth within you, you can look at information, you can discern it and go, ah, that makes sense. And then you can put it away and then move on to find something next that is truth to you. But to find the very background of this, it's very interesting what David talks about, which is the archons and stuff. But there is something that is not human behind this, as far as I'm concerned, because there is... If you think about yourself as a human being, we're all being completely destroyed. Our health, we as I say, we've got this EMFs, we've got genetically modified food that's going to come in from America. We've got all sorts of stuff that are going into the human body that's affecting us. Even bisphenol A with this now this transgender thing, bisphenol A, we're being bombarded by bisphenol A. It's in the banknotes. It's in the ink. It's everywhere. We've got female hormones coming through the water supply now because it's just being regurgitated. So we're being dislodged on so many different levels. And EMFs, electromagnetic frequencies, are just one of those levels.
But it's a massive one. And I was going to ask you next about the rollout of smart meters in homes. People are being told effectively that they don't have any choice. All the energy companies are putting them in. I'm reliably informed they have to be brought in by 2020 in Ireland. I think it's the same here. I think it's 2020, 2021. It's 2020, it is. How ironic. How convenient, the same time as the Republic of Ireland. So people won't be able to escape then.
What we've done, we've declared me as electro-hypersensitive, and I don't speak to the energy people because I can't keep my cool with them because I'm still learning to curb my passion for this because I really believe that they are killing people. And if you look at the studies on smart meters, and just the test that they've done on the blood, where you've got people for about a minute in front of it, it's starting to transform your blood. And one person who was so electro-hypersensitive was put next to a smart meter, and they had to pull her away after about 30 seconds because she almost fainted. It was so heavy on the system.
Let me ask you a question then. A few weeks ago on the program, I had a rare thing for me. I had a bit of an epiphany. I had a bit of a brainwave. I'm not being modest as well. I don't often come up with you know, the light bulb going off over your head, Peter.
I love it.
The eureka moment. It doesn't often happen to me. That's the truth. No, it doesn't. I'm a big fan of Better Call Saul, the spin-off from Breaking Bad. It's a very, very good program about a dodgy lawyer. It's a prequel.
Oh, yeah. I know who you're talking about. That.
Yeah. Now, it's very interesting. In Better Call Saul, his older brother is a very successful corporate lawyer, and he's suffering from what he believes is electromagnetic sensitivity. Wow. But the way the program plays it, you know, as if it's all in his head, that he's basically having some sort of breakdown. And without giving away, well, I'm just going to give away spoilers if people haven't seen it, tough luck. But basically what happens is, it does become apparent, in the show anyway, in the script, that it's all in his mind all along. Now, Peter, I've never written a script for a television programme or for a film. My great friend Jean Ann in Dublin, the actress, the Irish actress, she's done that. Why would they do that in a major television series that's going to be one of the biggest TV shows in the world? Somebody has deliberately put that storyline in there to say that anybody talking about electromagnetic sensitivity is a madman, Peter.
They do that a lot with films, don't they? They do it with TV programmes. We're being programmed.
Pre-programmed.
Go into the Frankfurt School with these little weak pieces of rubbish that really depressed people, and they've written this way of how they want to transform humanity, and they're doing it. It's happening. They want to break up the family. They want to get everybody into ill health. They want to get everybody off from talking to each other and getting them onto technology and just making people's lives miserable. They want people to be as miserable as them. And this is all coming true. This is all happening in our lives. And they do it through media, television. They did it. I watched a thing called The Fringe on the recommendation of David Wilcox, because it was introducing lots of this new technology that we supposedly haven't got. And it was very interesting. There was the mad professor was coming down on a helicopter, and he couldn't get a mobile phone signal. And he actually turned around and said, "Oh, these are a lot better when they actually gave you brain tumors."
Jesus.
He actually said it about the phone he was using, and they're putting it into scripts, and we're just watching it as entertainment, and they're telling us what they're doing to us. To me, it is incredible. I mean, as I say, I don't care what people think, because you see it for your own eyes and you call it as you see it, rather than thinking, "Oh, I'm a bit worried what Jim's going to say around the corner if I say that, so I won't say anything."
But you moved beyond that, didn't you, a long time ago, which I have great admiration for. It took me a long time, actually. I was very concerned with my image, the image I had of myself and my self-importance, until I learned it's all nonsense. Charlie O'Malley tweets, "It is hard when you turn your Wi-Fi off, but your computer tells you that it can find 14 other Wi-Fi hubs all around you." And then the 5G rollout, Max Egan was on the programme a few weeks back, and Max has done a good bit of research into 5G, which is just going to cover the globe, Peter. It's going to cover every square inch of planet Earth. And it must be said, to be fair, either The Guardian or The Independent, I can't remember, to be fair to them, they did publish, didn't they, a editorial or an opinion piece from a doctor who's kicked off about it. She's absolutely pissed off because she said there's been no public health consultation whatsoever on 5G, and it's just going to be rolled out anyway. To the credit of either The Guardian or The Independent, I don't know. PeterPaulParker.wordpress.com. We've got Peter for another 5 or 6 minutes to the top of the air. We'll get him back on again soon as well. We won't leave it as long, I can tell you that. What can people do, Peter? What can they do when they hear this? What do you tell them as step one? What did they do?
Firstly, we need to get information. It's the precautionary. We used to live in a world where I believe we never lived in the world like this at all, but we used to have what we were told to have the precautionary principle, i.e. if something looked like it was detrimental to health, they would not roll it out into human society until it was proved 100% safe. Now, the EMF is 2B carcinogen, so it's possible. And if the whole of the bioinitiative report of 2012 had come out and it had been and the level had been shown on that, it would have been a 2A, which is a probable, and it would probably have gone into a carcinogen. So you need to get that together, say, where's the precautionary principle? And you need to approach people in authority and just say, where's the precautionary principle? Because they do talk to each other and they're monitoring this. They're monitoring what's happening with the people. And we need to get up and say more. There's no point in trying to infiltrate politics because I think it's all gone. The left-right paradigm is completely controlled by the same people. And so when you get down to councils, you've got common purpose. I've been to a few council meetings. You've got common purpose operatives there. It's so obvious. It's laughable. It's absolutely laughable. And you've got to approach these people and say, do you want your children to be suffering from this? And present something like the bioinitiative report, which you can download. You say, it's not me. It's the scientists. These are scientists saying this.
Jean Ann makes the point about the precautionary principle. It's not applied to vaccinations either. And we know that the ridiculous amounts of mercury and other metallic agents in and poisonous agents and toxins in vaccines certainly must have a cumulative effect on children alongside those phones as well. There's no doubt about that. Peter Paul Parker's with the last couple of minutes. Peter, I'm going to give you the last couple of minutes, mate, because I'm sure there are a couple of things you'd like to say before we do run out of time. I'm going to tweet out the blog again. It's peterpaulparker.wordpress.com. I'm really glad to get you back on about this massively important issue, mate.
Yeah.
So you have last couple of minutes. If you want to wrap it up with whatever message you want, the floor is yours.
Let's put it into perspective, right? Let's look at background radiation. We've got natural background radiation in this world. Our cells have a natural way of dealing with those background radiation, with the background radiation. And I use the word natural, right? With the EMFs, from research done by Professor Ollie Johansson, what this background radiation has not risen by 10%, and the radiation hasn't risen by 100%. It's not even risen by 200%. It's 1 quintillion times higher radiation than the normal background radiation that we have, which is something that we all need to think about. So we've got this radiation coming in with 5G. It will be a disaster because within 2 or 3 houses of you, there will be an antenna that's beaming in radiation, microwave radiation, into your house. Now, you've got to really think twice. Do you want this 1 quintillion times higher radiation coming into your house that's higher than natural radiation, which is something that you were born to deal with, coming in that's pulsed? It's a pulsing radiation, which you do not have that in nature. So do you want that? You've really got to ask yourself, do you want that? And then the second question is, what is the most I can do to stop this if I was going to die tomorrow? So it's really that important that you've got to try your best to try and get people to wake up to this and do something about it, because it is very pressing. If they're going to bring this in 2020, we've got 4 or 5 years to clean this up and stop this. And I believe that we will. I believe people are waking up massively now. People are seeing the corruption in government. People are seeing the corruption in the pharmaceutical industry. Now they're seeing the corruption in the telecommunication agency. And one last thing, this is like putting Monsanto in charge of your organic farming in your country, which is why putting the World Health Organization in charge of your health. It's the same thing. You're looking at people who have interests, and they're just using their interests, not just to make money, but they're making you sick. So I think this is all part of a big plan that is about population reduction. So we need to come back and become human again, become peaceful, become loving, build our communities back, which have all been destroyed, and build back respect from people who have different opinions from yourself, people who've researched a bit further into things, people who can see things and visionaries that can see things that are happening in this world that you don't see, but don't knock them because you don't see. Speak to them. Try and understand it. Move. Open your minds a bit more. Don't open your mind so your brains come falling out, but open your mind so that you can move yourself forward and become a true and authentic, and I really mean that word, authentic human being.
Tell you what, Peter, it was great to have you back on the programme. Do me a favour, will you? Come back on in a few weeks' time and talk to us about sound healing.
And I'd love sound healing. It's one of the most amazing things I've ever found. And also I do another thing, which is kind of a Southeast Asian type yoga, which helps to wake up the chakra system and stuff. And it's helped me get over my electro-hypersensitivity because you're bringing your body back into your normal natural vibration.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll make sure that in the next few days we arrange a date and we'll do that. We'll spend a bit of time on it and we can incorporate that into talking more about these issues. PeterPaulParker.wordpress.com. Bookmark that. A word I use a lot, but I mean it. Bookmark it. Peter, thanks, mate, for what you have done today and what you continue to do to try and bring this to people. And you do it in such a lovely, humble, decent, softly spoken way with still that, you know, that intensity. And I think the way you do it, you're far more likely to reach people and to get people to consider it than maybe others are. I think you're absolutely perfectly placed to do that. Thanks for coming back on.
Love you guys. Love you all. And keep spreading the love. You've got to keep spreading this information, which is, as far as I'm concerned, spreading the love. So we've got to keep doing it for each other. We've got to keep growing. And we'll get this. We'll turn this back around. Don't worry. That's written in the stars, as it were.
No doubt about it. The great Peter Paul Parker on the line to us. They're from his home. Check out peterpaulparker.wordpress.com. Cheers, Peter, for that. Huge help. Right, it is exactly 2 minutes past the hour. The Richie Allen Show in association with davidicke.com. We're on fabradiointernational.com too. Here's a very quick break. Back in a minute.
Is your mind full of ideas, yet you struggle to put them down on paper? Characters with no home, unfinished concepts that you always wanted to finalise, yet lacked knowledge and drive to complete? The Creative Writing Course from Creative Imagings may be the long-awaited answer. Designed to help you finish your masterpiece with better language techniques, detailed study of the character, plotted suspense chain, and valuable information to get published. Don't delay your creation. Sign up today. Email Sue on nassusproductions@gmail.com.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
Have you heard of the potential healing power of CBD and non-psychoactive strain from cannabis? At Indoka, our mission is to show everyone how incredible CBD is. Each month, you can win $1,000 worth of our CBD products, plus everyone who enters will receive a beginner's guide to CBD cannabidiol. Our products are 100% organic, lab-tested and legal. For your chances of winning and special discounts on our range of CBD products, just visit offers.indoka.com/Richie Allen. That's offers.endoca.com/Richie Allen. Indoka, unlocking the secrets of nature.
Manchester's Tiger Lounge roars for the last time ever, Saturday the 5th of August. Legendary DJ Mark Reeder, collaborator with New Order, Depeche Mode and the Pet Shop Boys, playing timeless electro dance classics and exclusive remixes. And for the new sound of Manchester, it's Modern Family Unit, taken to the stage replete with President Gas, dancers and a 6-foot rabbit. Dance Away, the last show at the Tiger Lounge, 7:30 till 11 o'clock, Saturday the 5th of August. Tickets at skiddle.com.
Introducing the H2O app, a powerful water structuring application that programs vibrational energies into water through the use of different sound frequencies. Once programmed, the use of water for drinking, cooking, bathing. Give it to your friends and colleagues or spread it around the garden. The list goes on. It's not just water that the app can be used for either. It's great for programming crystals too. The H2O app is free to download and is available on both Android and Apple platforms. For further information, go to h2oapp.online.
Welcome back to the programme. There you go, I was reading a tweet there, nearly got caught out. It is July 27th, 2017. It's a Thursday evening. If you're just joining the programme, you missed the terrific Peter Paul Parker talking about his years of research into EMF radiation, the dangers of it, where it's all leading. Top man, that will be, of course, part of the podcast of the entire show, which does upload 15 minutes after the program. When I say it does upload, it doesn't happen automatically. I edit it very quickly and get it online at the end of the program. But it'll be on YouTube as well. And do share it with people. Do share it with people who might be expecting a child or who have young children. Listen, I know it's unlikely that they'll take the phones away from the children. I know. But imagine 1 in 500 did. Imagine 1 in 500 said, I'm not going to give them the phone. Yes, Charlie and everybody else on Twitter is right. The exposure to the toxic EMF is out there anyway, but you're doing the child a massive favour by taking the device out of their hand, which will stop them putting it to their ear. Their skulls are much thinner, of course, than adult skulls, and this is a huge problem, of course. He did mention, did Peter, Professor Olle Johansson, who has also been on this programme, but again, not for a long time. And I interviewed Olle Johansson also on TV in London and back in the Spain days. He's a very, very bright man, is Olle Johansson. He's also a friend of Barry Trower's. And we might do a special on this in the future, get all these people on to talk about it, because it is obviously very prescient. It's very, 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 very serious. It is. And it's great to hear guys like Peter talking about linking that to, you know, the non-human side of things. Somebody said to me the other day, actually, in an email, it was one of these mocking emails you get from people, laughing out loud. It was actually somebody in Ireland who must have known me from my radio days in Ireland, laughing at, because I've apparently gone batshit crazy, apparently, because of the subjects that I talk about on this programme. I'm a lunatic. And the email was sent by somebody who was particularly taken with, as he saw it, the folly of the world being a simulation, or the universe around us, the world around us, existing because we download it, we are programmed to believe it's real and all of that. So I sent him the interview I did with Rich Tyrrell from NASA, and I asked him to think about the fact that the things that researchers have been saying for years about the holographic universe, now mainstream and very, very much lauded scientists like Rich Tyrrell are going along with it as well. I agree with Peter Paul Parker. Eventually, those who want to bury their heads in the sand, there will come a time when they have to acknowledge it, whether they like it or not. And that will either be they'll have the courage to look in the mirror and go, right, it's happening, or they will acknowledge it when it's too late, when it's affecting them directly, you know, when they're being dispossessed of their house, when their child becomes completely incapable of movement, has chronic illness because of a vaccine incident or whatever. So they'll realise it one way or the other, I believe. I hope it's the former, because you don't want people experiencing terrible things. I fancy a bit of Billy Joel. What do you think? A bit of Billy Joel. Because it's 9 minutes past the hour, so Jim Fetzer has just told me he's standing by. If you were expecting Robert David Steele, Robert double booked, and I said, look, I don't mind, you can give me the brush off. We'll get Robert on the programme next week. So he's doing another interview somewhere else. Jim Fetzer said he would step into the breach, so he's doing that. Jim joins me in a minute from Madison, Wisconsin. This is your Richie Allen Show, this is Billy Joel, and this is My Life.
Got a call from the north, and we used to be real close. Said he couldn't go on the American way, 'cause the shop sold the house, bought a ticket to the West Coast. Now he gives them a stand-up routine. We'll be right back. never said I was a victim of circumstance. I still belong.
Billy Joel, My Life on Your Richie Allen Show, 12 minutes past the hour. Our next guest needs very little introduction. Great friend of mine, proud to call him a friend, been speaking to me on my radio programme since back in 2009, I think, the first time we spoke. He's a serious academic. I think one of the world's leaders in the field of critical thinking, Professor Emeritus at the University of Madison, Wisconsin. He's an author. Check out moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com. Titles he's written with Mike Palachek. Titles he's written by himself, including Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, America Nuked on 9/11, From Orlando to Dallas and Beyond, JFK, Who, How and Why, and many more. Jim Fetzer, welcome back. How are you?
Oh, Richie, just terrific. I'm so glad to be back with you again.
That's another $5 you owe me for those lovely introductions. Not going to get into that. It's good to have you on. I meant every word of it. Great to have you on. 2009, yeah. First time you came on the program. I remember because after you spoke to me on that program in Spain, there was murder because it was obviously a commercial radio station and some of the listeners weren't too impressed with some of the truth that you were exposing about certain things, and you went probably to dinner or off for a drink or whatever it was, and I had to take all the flack, but it was great. Really good to have you back on. Tell us about the... So we have sanctions announced against Russia by the House of Representatives, backed by the State Department. Trump has been silent thus far. They're blaming hacking. This is punishment for hacking Russia, but you're... Your sources, Jim, and your sources are bloody good, are saying that more evidence is coming out that the leak was internal. It was inside the United States, and we have the Clintons' paw prints all over this. What's going on, Jim?
That's absolutely right, Richie. We now have the veteran intelligence professionals for Sanity have determined that the hacked emails were downloaded locally and at a rate that would have been impossible for a distant server. This means we now have another scientific and technical proof that the Russian hacking meme was a fabrication. John Podesta and Robbie Mook devised it to explain away Hillary's embarrassing loss, to divert attention from their disconcerting contents, to undermine the prospect for improved relations with Russia, and to lay a foundation to delegitimize the Trump administration. Even Paul Craig Roberts has written about this, Richie. He's got a new piece called The Conspiracy to Remove Trump from the Presidency.
That's absolutely right, Jim. Mike Rivera was on with us yesterday. We were talking about this being multifaceted. Like you said, demonize the Russians. This has a lot to do, of course, with the, I won't say stalemate in Syria because that's disrespectful. People are dying there. But we know the Bashar al-Assad government is under attack from Western-backed so-called moderate rebels and, of course, the lunatic jihadists from Saudi Arabia. Russia, of course, put a halt to the gallop of the US plans. But also, Michael brought up a good point yesterday. The US wants to annoy the European Union and undermine energy companies working on this Nord Stream 2 pipeline. One of the things the US wants to do, it wants to get a greater share of the UK energy market as well. So this whole thing, Jim, as well as being a massive cover-up, it's also multifaceted in terms of the payoffs that the globalists and the elitists in Washington want. Am I right?
Oh, yeah, you're completely right, Richie. Trump has done a couple of good things. He did reaffirm the nuclear agreement with Iran, though there are some suspicions he may try to find a way to claim they have been violated, which Iran will not do for a certainty. He has ceased funding from the CIA for the so-called rebels in Syria, where it appears, however, that we are continuing to take out the infrastructure of Syria. Our whole presence there is completely illegitimate, Richie, which makes me vastly amused when you have individuals like Rachel Maddow or Lawrence O'Donnell on MSNBC berating Trump for non-existent collusion with the Russians, for messing with our election, when here we are trying to depose a democratically elected president of Syria right under our nose. I mean, the hypocrisy is overwhelming.
I always like to mention whenever Syria comes up, because we don't often get the chance, but I want to mention one very important thing. Bashar al-Assad was very much favoured by Western so-called democracies, by the United Nations, the reluctant president, of course, the ophthalmologist who got the job because his brother died, I think, in a car crash. And until 2009, 2010, the United Nations were saying this guy is meeting his own millennium goals. And not only that, but it seems he's very keen to transition the country to away from the, you know, sort of autocratic regime that his father ran, that he wanted to make it democratic and open it up. All was on the up and up, of course, until, you know, the intelligence agencies of our country, Israel, of course, the UK, the United States, decided to do something else. Before we talk more about the emails, Jim, and this is what we do, you and I, we kind of jump backwards and forwards between subjects. Where do you think Syria is now? Summer's a very unusual time because politicians obviously take their summer recess right across the world, and the media doesn't report as much on what's happening in Syria. Are we just kind of right in the middle of a big old stalemate, Jim, with regards to what the US and the UK would like to do and what Russia would like to do, which is to protect Assad? Is it kind of stuck in a stalemate at the moment?
It seems to me the situation is very much in favor of Russia, Iran, and Syria to maintain the sovereignty of the nation, which has been so grossly violated. Saudi Arabia and Israel, of course, have been supporting ISIS, which was a creation of the USA, the reason Mike Flynn was fired as director of the Defense Intelligence Agency was because he opposed the creation of ISIS, which took place in 2012 when Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State, Barack Obama president, and John Brennan was promoting it. Brennan subsequently, because of Flynn's opposition, recommended that Obama fire him, which he did. He was a good man, and it's unfortunate they've continued to go after him. Though we're not hearing much about him these days with so much else going on. But the whole Russian hacking meme is a total fabrication. It has no substance whatsoever, Richie, and it's embarrassing that it continues to make so much news 24/7 here in the U.S.
No doubt. Jim, talk to us about these leaks, because some of what came out obviously portrays the Clintons in a very bad light, even though a lot of what came out wasn't covered in any great detail by United States mainstream media. It looks to me, Jim, that there were people with really good motivations who wanted to expose these people. Explain what happened with those leaks, Jim, because there was a lot in them, not just about Russia, but we got a lot about, of course, the Clinton's own behavior, the Clinton Foundation, and much more besides. Go ahead.
Yeah, and Richie, the latest of the revelations reveal that CNN, NBC, and the Washington Post were in collusion with the DNC to convey the impression that Trump was a weak candidate for the benefit of Hillary's campaign. They were asking the DNC what questions they should address to the other candidates during the debates. They were getting ideas for stories and how they should be spun. They were clearing information they were going to write with the DNC. Debbie Wasserman Schultz was playing a crucial role here in manipulating the situation. And of course, we know that even NBC their host was providing questions in advance to Hillary Clinton, to Robbie Moak. That was Lester Holt before he moderated. He said his questions over a week in advance. Then he had an arrangement with Hillary when she stroked her face. He'd go after Trump, throw it open to her for a prepared zinger. We know Donna Brazile was also involved in this. It's completely disgusting. And of course, the Pizzagate revelations are simply appalling, Richie. The evidence at my disposal indicates that very key players on the Democratic side, including Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, Al Franken, and others, as well as Bill and Hillary Clinton and John and Tony Podesta, were deeply involved in this Pizzagate business, which is as sordid as it gets.
Not only that, Jim, sorry to cut across, but not only that, but organ trafficking.
Yes. Yes. Jesus, and that appears to be going on with Israelis taking out the Palestinians and harvesting their organs even when they're still alive, according to my reports.
Jim, give us the source on that. I've not heard that.
I'll track it right now while we're talking, Richie.
Yeah.
But the fact is, there was collusion going on, but it had nothing to do with Russia. The leaks came from Seth Rich, who was the IT guy for the DNC, who gave them to Julian Assange by way of Craig Murray, who was the UK ambassador to Uzbekistan, the head of a college and an intel analyst himself.
Yeah.
Both of them, of course, affirmed they knew the leaker and he wasn't Russian. The whole Russian dossier, by the way, seems to have been made up by a guy named Christopher Steele from the UK, even at the behest of the FBI, which once it saw the lurid story he'd concocted about prostitutes peeing on a bed that Obama had slept in, decided it was too unbelievable and refused to give him the $50,000 they'd promised.
This is these are crazy times, Jim. These are absolutely crazy times. Jim Fetzer is on the line, folks. Check out moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com. Jim is, of course, excuse me, legendary professor and a kind of a doyen, I would say, of critical thinking. Been speaking with Jim on many issues for many years. And Mike Rivero made the point to me last night, Jim, that the body count, you know, just seems to mount. It seems to grow and grow of people connected in one way or another to the Clintons. And we're not talking about tenuous links. You know, we're not talking about second or third cousin four times removed. We're talking about people who had intimate knowledge of the Clintons and the people closest to the Clintons. The body count just keeps going, eh?
Oh, it does. It's appalling, Richie. Of course, we had this prosecutor wash up on a beach in Sarasota and Debbie Wasserman Schultz district, not far from the residence of a judge overseeing the investigation. And this is just compounded by, you know, loss of many others, including Julian Assange, own attorney, a celebrated human rights leading expert in the UK in front of a subway. The guy who served the class action suit on the DNC winds up dying mysteriously. The beat goes on. We have a stunning new development, too, Richie, because the Debbie Wasserman Schultz IT guy was arrested at Dulles Airport attempting to flee the country. As Zero Hedge has explained, the smashing of the DNC hard drives after they had been taken into police custody appears to have been an attempt to conceal a major blackmail operation where the DNC was recording conversation and tweets on the Blackberries used by reportedly 150 members of Congress, Richie. You know, the DNC was running its own blackmail op against members of Congress through the Blackberries by this guy, Awan. And get this, the major networks are ignoring this story. This was the biggest story out there yesterday. But ABC, NBC, and CBS all refuse to cover it.
They won't cover it, Jim, because it's not only the biggest story out there yesterday, it's one of the biggest stories in terms of it's one of humanity's biggest stories, because it shows the people, it demonstrates to people who's really in charge, this blackmail. And in fact, Forbes magazine today described this plot as something beyond even Tom Clancy, you know, and John Grisham and people. It's absolutely right. We're talking about what's been going on for years. You've known it for years. I've known it for some years. These people are blackmailed in order to do what it is they are told. These are Zionist-controlled politicians working in Congress And this is how they are controlled. You know, dossiers of dirt are gathered on these people to be used against them forevermore. And this is why we don't see the investigations into the murder of Seth Rich and Sean Lucas and Victor Thorne and everybody else, because these people are owned. It's as simple as that. We have it here. Jim, we had the instance many years ago where a former chief whip of the Conservative Party, a guy called Tim Fortescue, said that back in the 70s, members of Parliament were constantly coming to the chief whips to say that they were caught buggering young boys. But they were given a pass and the investigations were shut down because they could be used and told how to vote and what to do in the future. This is what we're witnessing, Jim. But the media won't cover it. It's up to you and, you know, independent media around the world, which is kind of fractured, and it's difficult to reach people with this, but this is what's going on.
And it appears that the government is using its connections with private corporations like Google and YouTube in order to censor and take down books and videos that expose their charades.
Your books.
Google, YouTube, Amazon.com. You know, Jeff Bezos had a $600 million contract with the CIA to do their cloud work. And that appears to have given him the money to buy the Washington Post, which has turned into nothing but a propaganda rag. Here's a newspaper with a once distinguished history that has become nothing but disinformation. It's really embarrassing. And where, of course, Amazon.com has taken down my book on Sandy Hook, they're using the claim of violation of the community guidelines for exposing the truth about the fact that 20 children and 6 adults did not die at Sandy Hook, that it was a FEMA drill for which we even have the manual, that the school had been closed by 2008, that those who pretended to be parents split over $28 million in donations. That's over $1 million per family, Richie. And that, you know, Adam Lanza's death was initially recorded in the Social Security Index as having occurred on the 13th. It's just stunning how much is going on here in order to conceal the government's malfeasance. And they appear to be using these private companies to perform these actions so the government will be accused of violating the First Amendment.
Jim, there's so much I want to get into, and we've probably got about 15, 20 minutes on the show. It flies by when you're on. I don't know if you're aware that this week BBC's Panorama programme has dealt with antipsychotic medication, SSRI antidepressants. And Professor David Healy, who's a UK psychiatrist. Now, funnily enough, Jim, Professor David Healy is on holiday at the moment. I got in touch with him, didn't think he'd want to come on this programme, you know, because of the areas that we get into, but he said he'd be delighted to come on after his holiday. He's a leading researcher into the effects of SSRI antidepressants. And he testified, didn't he, in the James Holmes case. You know, he basically testified on behalf of James Holmes that the antipsychotic medication that James was on basically turned him into a psychotic killer. I don't know if you're aware of this program. It's well worth looking at. Now, I know there are other factors to that cinema shooting. I'm well aware of it. And I know you've done a lot of work on it.
I've done less on the forum than I have on Sandy Hook or the Boston bombing, Richie. But I can assure you no one died in Boston either, except for a friend of the brothers who was murdered in Florida by FBI agents, apparently because he wouldn't change his story to go along with the official account that they were terrorists. But we know that they had nothing to do with it. In fact, even the government's own fabricated evidence, photoshopped images of them at the marathon, disproves that they were involved because, as the FBI report explained, the two bombs that blew up were in black nylon backpacks. And you can see from the photographs of them at the marathon, neither of them is wearing a black nylon backpack, because of which a professor of law I asked to review the evidence we'd amassed in this case told me that was the most important because it meant they didn't even have probable cause for an arrest, much less for an indictment or a conviction at trial. Absolutely. The whole thing was a complete fraud, Richie. It's embarrassing the United States has descended to such a low level of contempt for the public, for the principles of law and justice.
Well, you convinced me, Jim, you know, a year maybe less after Boston, you convinced me that it was an absolute staged event. There's no doubt about that. I nobody can be, you know, a credible... You can't be a credible reporter if you look at that and you look at the evidence, and if you conclude that it was real, there's something wrong with you. But listen, just, I don't want to dwell on this James Holmes Aurora thing, but patsies are created, Jim. There are a lot of hoax type events that you've been writing about and exposing for some years. I totally go along with that. But there are times, of course, when people are killed. There has to be for these things to, you know, they have to kill people at times, of course, in some of these terrorist shootings and attacks. Using patsies and putting them up to it, mind controlling them, using antipsychotic medication and using other methods. This is obviously a favoured, one of the old school ways of getting somebody to go and commit atrocities they would never even think of committing.
Well, you know, Ritchie, sometimes even old cases that might even be thought to be cold cases, like JFK, are amenable to new revelations. We've just had two sensational reports on InfoWars, where Jerry Corsi, who's a longtime expert on JFK, has organized a sequence of presentations and just featured Ralph Sinquet, who founded the Oswald Innocence Campaign. Ralph, because a chiropractor, took a lead role in establishing that a man in the doorway, in the very famous photograph taken by James Ike Algins, by virtue of his height, his weight, his build, his clothing, his shirt and his T-shirt, bore an uncanny resemblance to Lee Oswald. And he had an hour program yesterday going through the evidence that establishes that the man in the doorway was not someone by the name of Billy Lovelady, who himself thought it was odd that they'd be confused because he was 2 to 3 inches shorter, 15 to 20 pounds heavier, and was wearing a short sleeve red and white vertically striped shirt, which he brought in to show the FBI on the 29th of February 1964 at their request, which they duly photographed in an effort to try to prove that he was the man in the doorway. But the man in the doorway was wearing a very richly textured long sleeve shirt. It was woven, it was tattered, it was splayed open at the top. In fact, it turns out that Billy Lovelady was standing beside the man in the doorway. To his left, to our right, as we look at the photograph, with his hands raised over his head to protect them from the eyes, where they made many alterations to this area to try to obfuscate what was going on, including blacking out his face. They put in the image of a man behind the doorman that obliterated his shoulder, meaning he had the impossible situation of a man behind him known as Black Tie Man, both in front of him and behind him at the same time. They whited out the vertically striped red and white shirt. They obfuscated another face. Ralph Sinquet did a wonderful job of discussing it. And today, get this may be even more startling. He went through proof, which I found completely convincing, that the man who actually shot Lee Oswald when he was being transported to the county jail was not actually Jack Ruby, but was an FBI agent by the name of James Bookout, who was shorter than Ruby, who had a cleanly shaved back of the neck, unlike Ruby, who appeared to have been wearing a wig, who had on white socks at the time, whereas Ruby, when he was booked, had on black socks. I'm telling you, this is stunning stuff. And I got to say, it was part of the genius of Ralph Sinquet that he should have sorted this out. It's really fascinating, Richie, and this is coming out right now on InfoWars.com.
Well, I look forward to reading it, Jim. It's obviously of huge interest to us still, 54 years on, of course, and I know you've done an awful lot of work on it. Jim Fetzer is on the line, moonrockbooks.com. It's Thursday, July 27th, 2017. It's a proper nuisance, Jim, when Amazon behaves in the way it does with respect to the Sandy Hook books and that. There isn't really much, is there, that an author like you can do about it. They have their regulations, their rules, and I suppose you just have to suck it up and find other ways of getting the book out there. How does it work for you?
Well, yes. I even had found a book. Actually, Moonrock Books was founded in order to get out books that were being suppressed by Amazon.com and YouTube. But my position, Richie, which I've outlined now in a recent blog, is that Amazon.com and YouTube are accessories after the fact of fraud and theft by deception. In other words, they are covering up for entities, namely the participants in the scheme, the fake families that have gathered so much money. I mentioned already more than $1 million apiece from the donations. Then they split another $1.5 million from the Lanza estate. Other items of value, including, oddly enough, 65,000 teddy bears. $50 million was given to the state of Connecticut to build a new school. Believe it or not, Richie, I'm getting reports that they have so few students in Newtown that they're going to have to close their new $50 million school. But the point is, there appears to be a legal way to approach Amazon.com and YouTube by virtue of them performing this role of covering up. The books they're banning, mine, for example, Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, had 13 contributors, including 6 current or retired PhD college professors. Proves the school was closed by 2008. There were no students there. That the forensic analysis done by Danbury State's attorney Stephen Sadinsky didn't establish a causal nexus tying together the alleged shooter with his victims or the weapons he used. That the whole thing was a scam. That they are covering it up, and they have to know they covered it up because the proof is all there in the books that they have book they had banned. They had 20 books on sale at the time, Richie, 19 of which supported the official account one way or another, some quite absurdly. A Caitlin Roy book about Hope said that she had been a first grade teacher there and had saved 15 students by cramming them into a 3x4 bathroom with a door that swung inward. If you assume those kids weighed 50 pounds apiece, that's 750 pounds of screaming, of squirming first graders, plus Caitlin Roig, another 100 pounds. This is preposterous. One single NFL tackle weighing 350 pounds would have filled it up, Richie.
Yeah.
But the fact, it's just obscene. We even have the FBI in its consolidated crime report for 2012. Reporting no murders in Newtown.
That's right.
Which means there were no murders at Sandy Hook either, because Sandy Hook is a suburb of Newtown.
There's so much wrong with it. Again, with the official story, it's it's unreal, really, for me to see. And then I get contacted all the time by people, you know, people I know who've talked about it publicly, and they've been shut down, they've been criticized, they've been abused. Because people get very emotional about it, of course, and children, and people don't actually look into it for themselves. You know, once they, you know, hear the children thing, they get emotional and they get hysterical. Jim, on Amazon and YouTube, I'm not, you know, I've never spent any time on this program talking about us being targeted. I've never felt that the Richie Allen Show is targeted by anybody. But we've seen what happened with YouTube in the last 4 to 5 months. They came out, Google came out and said, well, look, we are going to be basically, because of complaints we've had from advertisers, we're going to change the way advertising works. When people upload videos, it's going to be more difficult for people who talk about politics and about controversial subjects to monetize their videos. Let me tell you what's just been happening to the Richie Allen Show in the last 2 to 3 days. So There came a point in late 2016 when the program began to cover its costs, and a small salary for me and an even smaller wage for my YouTube editor. It started to do okay because of the monetization. Then, of course, a few months ago, that all stopped. I'll tell you what's been happening, Jim. We put videos online. And we put a title on the video, obviously a title that will attract people to watch it, usually a quote. So tomorrow I'll put a video of you up there, our interview tonight, and there will be a quote from you or something like that. Do you know what's been happening, Jim? The minute we put the video live, it is immediately demonetized. But guess what, Jim? There are mirror accounts on YouTube bastards stealing the copyright of the Richie Allen Show, basically re-uploading my video. These are nobodies now. They've got 20 subscribers or 50 subscribers or 100 subscribers. But they monetize the videos that I've had demonetized and the ads are left on them. Would you believe that? And I've contacted YouTube in recent days to say, listen, this is my copyright. I own the program. I own the channel. Please stop other people using my content to monetize it, especially you bastards, when you've demonetized it the instant that it went online on my account. What have YouTube done, Jim? Nothing. I'm going to use a bad word, Jim. They've done fuck all. Nothing. So they demonetize their videos immediately and, what would you call them, parasites, steal the content, put it on their own YouTube channel and fucking monetize it. Sorry for swearing. This is what's going on, you see. And we're not important. We're just one program out of millions. But this is what's going on. How do you beat that, Jim?
What do you Richie, do? It's a gross violation of the, you know, freedom of the airwaves. And this is a form of theft. It's completely obscene. It appears that these entities have been taken over by the intelligence agencies of the United States. They're performing the function that the government can't directly perform without being violating the First Amendment and other constraints. It's all grossly deceptive. It even appears that Lenny Posner, who gave a fake death certificate for his son Noah, who's himself a fictional character created out of photographs from the childhood of the person supposed to be his older stepbrother, Michael Vabner, as we have proven, has been given the right to strike copyright, to strike YouTube channels for violations. And he's running amok. They're taking down books right and left. They've banned hundreds of books that discuss the Holocaust, simply offering an alternative interpretation of history. My opinion had always been in the past that if it was real, then research would confirm it. And if it was not, then the world deserves to know. Well, I've done enough research to know that, in fact, the world deserves to know that we've been given a whole lot of fabricated narrative, so that a second of my books has been taken down, Richie. And I suppose we didn't go to the moon either, not because of exposing the moon hoax, which has become overwhelmingly obvious now. I don't know if you heard about NASA offering $30,000 for the best way to dispose of poop in space, when, you know, this is ridiculous. Because the astronauts were in space for 8 days. What did they do with all their poop at that point in time, back in 1969, if in 2017 we can't dispose of poop in space, we couldn't do it then either. And where NASA has acknowledged that the greatest obstacle to a manned mission to Mars is the Van Allen radiation belt, which was not only here now in 2017, was here in 1969, was created when Earth was made 4.5 billion years ago, Richie. So the point of absurdity has long since been passed. This is an inside-out world. You know, black is white, false is true. We're being massively deceived and misled and abused, as in your case too, by these powerful organizations.
It's funny you mentioned the moon. I've interviewed Bart Sibrel several times over the years. He made the film, didn't he? The documentary. A funny thing happened on the way to the moon. I like Bart a lot. Bart's an interesting character, Jim. I don't know if you know. You probably will know. But he was punched in the face by, was it Neil Armstrong or Buzz Aldrin?
Buzz Aldrin, when he asked him to swear on the Bible that he'd been on the moon. These guys weren't on the moon, Richie.
I agree with you.
So ridiculous, the amount of proof we have, which is found in abundance in the book, other places.
Tell me this. I lean towards your argument about the moon. I really do. Do you think Aldrin and Armstrong and the others, do you think, Jim, they believe? Because I think they probably believe they were on the moon. I think
they're embarrassed. They're embarrassed, Richie. They were conned into it. They never got out of low space orbit. We didn't have the propulsion power to escape Earth's gravitational field. They didn't have the computing power. In fact, we've gone through the diagram for the computer allegedly used. It wasn't even functional, Richie.
Yeah.
And, of course, I've already observed you couldn't get past the Van Allen belt. When I had an exchange on Huffington Post, when they put up a very strange little article about how a brilliant physicist had dispatched moon landing critics in a single brilliant tweet, which was really moronic. It just said, if you don't believe we landed on the moon, you need to have your head examined. I had a guy comment saying that he was in communication and TV at the time, and in order to communicate then, you had to have a vehicle the size of a bread truck. We're talking about approximately 250,000 miles distance from Earth to Moon. There was no vehicle the size of a bread truck up there, Richie.
No, it's incredible. The whole thing went so smooth. It's incredible. But you know what, Jim? I just want to take you back to something you said a minute ago. You and I have been speaking for years. There are times when we've had disagreements on things, minor disagreements about various things, various events. I've never said, oh, we disagree and you're wrong, Fetzer. I've never done that. I never would. I absolutely agree with you. I will fight for, fight's a bad word, we shouldn't be fighting anybody, but I will campaign and stand alongside any author, any man or woman who wants to publish a book that challenges the official version of anything, 100%. You know, I've got different opinions about Nazi Germany, maybe slightly different to yours and others.
Sure.
But you absolutely have the right to ask questions, to say to people, you know, I've discovered this, not just about Nazi Germany, but about any aspect of history.
Yeah.
Should be up for discussion, because that's the academic thing. I mean, Jesus, again, you being perfectly placed with your career dedicated to critical thinking, we can't move into this area where tyrants can say, you can't speak about this, you can't ask questions about that, because it might offend this group of people. It's untenable. It's
That's
untenable,
right.
Jim.
You're 100% correct, Richie. As Sir Karl Popper observed, rational debate is our most effective instrument in discovering the truth. You have to have unfettered debate, let all ideas bloom, and see which can survive in the area of critical analysis. Suppressing, you know, views about, well, this issue or that, it really is reflective, as Voltaire observed, of who rules over you. The fact that they are banning all these books, if you believe the Holocaust is real, then you simply think they're mistaken. Well, argue it out on the basis of the evidence. If you think that there was a use of gas chambers, but the leading expert in the world went and visited and explained that none of the facilities could possibly have functioned as gas chambers, make the argument. If you want to dispute the International Committee of the Red Cross, which revised their totals in 1993, discovering that 296,081 persons had died in all the camps combined, not one of whom had died from being put to death in a gas chamber, make the argument. If you want to dispute that there was a British soccer team at Auschwitz, where I have a book of the team on the back cover, then I suppose we didn't go to the moon either. Make your argument. But the evidence is overwhelming, Richie. We just need to have the freedom to express it and not be policed in our thoughts by those who have a political agenda and are uninterested in evidence and truth.
Now, listen, you'll never get an argument from me. You know that we differ on that particular issue, but you'll never get an argument from me. You know, we shouldn't be preventing people with their scientific backgrounds from asking questions based on the idea that it might offend or it might in some way, you know, inconvenience a particular group of people on any issue. I totally agree with that. Folks, go to moonrockbooks.com. Time flies by when Jim Fetzer is on the programme. Moonrockbooks.com. Top man, Jim. Thanks again, mate, for coming back on the programme.
I look forward
to it again. Say hello to our mutual friend, Maria Heller, when you're on our program next.
Will do, Richie. Will do.
Cheers, Jim. All the best for now. Great guy, Jim Fetzer. Moonrockbooks.com. Check out his books there. Top man. You know, Jim and I have argued about Nazi Germany and other issues. Not just that issue, but other issues for years. But in the way that I'm always advocating that people argue, that you leave your ego at the door and you say, well, look, this is what I believe. And the person you're speaking with says, well, this is what I believe. You know, and I don't agree with Jim about numbers at concentration camps. I've always believed that, you know, a massive amount of Jews, but also disabled people, nomadic people, gypsies and others were put to death by the Nazis. But there's a whole other story about the major corporations who funded and supported Hitler into power and who planned a post-World War II Europe with Hitler in charge. I'm not going to get into all of that again. Hidden history, stuff that people don't understand and don't talk about. But, you know, the idea that Jews were not targeted and were not killed in great numbers in Nazi Germany, to me, is preposterous anyway. You know, I don't go along with that. It's not because I'm scared of saying what I really feel. It's what I really feel. It's as simple as that. But I wouldn't deny people the rights to revise any aspect of history. We shouldn't keep mentioning Nazi Germany. Any aspect of history, if people want to revise it academically, and if they've got something to say, and if the evidence supports what it is they're saying, well, they should be allowed to say it. If the evidence is not supporting what they're saying, well, that should be exposed as well, and then they're exposed basically as being frauds, right? Isn't that the way it's supposed to work, without people getting their knickers in a twist? Anyway, my biggest problem with what happened in Nazi Germany and what happened to Jewish people, and I've interviewed survivors over the years of Dachau in Munich, Treblinka, I think, and certainly Auschwitz. My biggest problem is the same problem that Norman Finkelstein has with it. It's the way that Rothschild Zionists have used what happened to Jewish people in Nazi Germany and in the ghettos to excuse and to basically prevent any criticism of what the Zionists have done in Palestine since the, even before the, we're talking about the breaking up of the Ottoman Empire, of course, what led on to the Sykes-Picot Agreement, the Balfour Declaration. But even after World War II, the Holocaust industry, as Norman Finkelstein calls it. So anyway, but people should be allowed to ask questions about any aspect of history without being labelled racist or anti-Semitic or any of that other bollocks. We'll take a very quick break. Back more or less to wrap up in a minute.
Is your mind full of ideas, yet you struggle to put them down on paper? Characters with no home, unfinished concepts that you always wanted to finalise, yet lacked knowledge and drive to complete? The Creative Writing Course from Creative Imagings may be the long-awaited answer. Designed to help you finish your masterpiece with better language techniques, detailed study of the character, plotted suspense chain, and valuable information to get published. Don't delay your creation. Sign up today. Email Sue on nassusproductions@gmail.com.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
Manchester's Tiger Lounge roars for the last time ever, Saturday the 5th of August. Legendary DJ Mark Reeder, collaborator with New Order, Depeche Mode and the Pet Shop Boys, playing timeless electro dance classics and exclusive remixes. And for the new sound of Manchester, it's Modern Family Unit, taken to the stage replete with President Gas, dancers and a 6-foot rabbit. Dance away, the last show at the Tiger Lounge, 7:30 till 11 o'clock, Saturday the 5th of August. Tickets at skiddle.com.
Introducing the H2O app, a powerful water structuring application that programs vibrational energies into water through the use of different sound frequencies. Once programmed, the use of water for drinking, cooking, bathing. Give it to your friends and colleagues or spread it around the garden. The list goes on. It's not just water that the app can be used for either. It's great for programming crystals too. The H2O app is free to download and is available on both Android and Apple platforms. For further information, go to h2oapp.online.
Have you heard of the potential healing power of CBD and non-psychoactive strain from cannabis? At Indoka, our mission is to show everyone how incredible CBD is. Each month, you can win $1,000 worth of our CBD products, plus everyone who enters will receive a beginner's guide to CBD cannabidiol. Our products are 100% organic, lab-tested and legal. For your chances of winning and special discounts on our range of CBD products, just visit offers.indoka.com/Richie Allen. That's offers.endoca.com/Richie Allen. Indoka, unlocking the secrets of nature.
Welcome back. I say welcome back. We're more or less out of time. Big thanks to our guests today. Peter Paul Parker in hour one and the terrific Jim Fetzer in the second hour as well. I've just had an email from Alan. Now, I know Alan very well. He lives in North Manchester. Alan is Jewish and he's an interesting guy. Won't come on the programme, but he's had a lot of experience dealing with some of these pro-Zionist groups. But Alan said to me, you know, he said, he just emailed me there and said, it is good to mention, Richie, that there are people in the independent media asking questions, because they genuinely are asking questions, but at the same time, there are a lot of people in the independent media and they just hate Jews, full stop. And I say to Alan, I've said this on the programme many times, I've identified some of these people. Of course there are people in the so-called independent media who hate Jews. There are people in the independent media who hate, pathologically hate Muslims. There are people in the independent media who hate everybody that doesn't look and sound like them. That's an absolute fact. But what can you do about it? You can just do what I do, which is kind of be a bit arrogant and a bit egotistical and say that the Richie Allen Show isn't part of any independent media. The Richie Allen Show stands on its own as a programme that will debate with and speak with anybody, no matter who they are, no matter what they have to say, however heinous it might be to people. And we seek out people who disagree with us. We seek out interviewees and guests who have a different point of view than us. So I think in that sense, we stand alone and we don't have to answer for those in the independent media who hate Jews or hate Muslims. You have yourselves a brilliant weekend. I will be back with you on Sunday morning for Sunday View Live at 11 a.m. Big shout out to Simon Stewart for looking after the YouTube channel, top man, and to my friend Aaron Calland as well. And I will talk to you, as I said, on Sunday. Thanks to Jim, thanks to Peter Paul Parker. Thank you, look after yourselves and one another. I'm going to leave you with the Lighthouse Family and a song called Ocean Drive, which might bring us some sunshine. This is very summery, this. Until Sunday, thanks a lot, bye now. Gonna shine on everything.